I'm Gemma Gaudet, and more Idaho Matters right now. This month, the James Castle House welcomed its fall artist in residence, Claire Johnson. Her work delves into themes of loss, nostalgia, memory, and history, and she uses several different methods, including poetry and dip pen drawing. As an artist, Claire works to capture the things that time often changes, creating a median of sorts. Joining us now to talk more about this idea, as well as her art, is the artist herself. Claire, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So can you begin by talking to us a little bit about your process? I mean, what inspires your art?
Yeah, I mean, I started making art from a very young age. And I would say initially, it's a very deep level, a coping mechanism. I like to think about my work as being parallel to the idea of a Band-Aid. Band-Aids are amazing to me because they show you that someone has been wounded, but they also show you that there's a healing attention that's been given to that wound. And I am inspired by that idea in making my art, that it can be a process of healing as well as showing the wound at the same time. I make a lot of different kinds of art to respond to different things that I'm trying to remember or process. I get very inspired by lost histories and by place and memory. Those are things I return to a lot.
So I know there are a few themes within your work that you regularly return to, as you mentioned. So can you tell us maybe a little bit more about those and why you continue to explore that?
Yeah, history is really important to me. As a gay person, our history is so often erased and hidden, either was beneath people's notice intentionally or was very purposefully erased from history. So I find it very personal. History, I'm always wanting to recover my history in that sense. Mm. I also, when I walk around, I'm very inspired by place. And I just feel like across all the kinds of work that I do, I'm really trying to find a way to hold and honor all of those different times and places and people that we all hold inside ourselves and that each place kind of holds inside itself as well, that we don't get to talk about or see in normal life.
So what kind of art are you focusing on right now while you're working during your time here in Idaho?
Well, I'm trying to do it all while I'm here. I'm trying to kind of be inspired by the way that James Castle himself did so many different kinds of art, much the way that I do, and that he had a daily practice and used it to communicate whatever needed to be communicated that day. And I'm trying to do that for myself as well, working on drawings, dip pen drawings that are very intricate, often very small, also working on larger acrylic paintings of memories from my own life, and also trying to work on writing as well about some of my family histories in Idaho and combining that with current day experiences. And then everywhere I go, I also, every night I make a Post-it drawing. So I'm working on all four of those things while I'm here. Mm.
So for folks who might not be familiar with the practice, can you tell us what dip pen drawing is?
Of course. More people are familiar with fountain pens, which are your standard pen that holds ink inside itself. That's what we've gotten used to nowadays. What I use for my drawings are pens that are actually a little older of a process than that. They're like a handle that's just a stick. It doesn't hold ink inside it, and it has a metal pen nib that you attach. You can swap them out for different sizes or shapes, and then you dip it in a jar of ink. So it gives you, it sounds really, people look at them and think, oh my gosh, that looks so messy. How could you do it? But it actually, when you're used to it, it gives you a lot more control than a normal pen does.
Okay. So I'm kind of thinking back to like the things we see of like, you know, former like presidents and politicians back, you know, I'm talking like 17, 1800s, right? And that's the type of pen they used.
Yes. Every now and then I encounter someone, usually somebody in their 80s who will say, this is the pen I was taught to write in school. We had to use these in school.
Oh my gosh.
But that's not happening to me very often anymore. Every now and then, pretty rare that I encounter somebody who recognizes them, but every now and then.
Okay. So you mentioned the Post-it Note Project. Can we talk a little bit about this and tell us a little bit about it and how you got started on it?
Yeah, I've always been fascinated with Post-its for some of the same reasons that I love Band-Aids. They hold opposites. Post-its are disposable, but they're also supposed to hold on to something that we're going to forget. I've loved that contrast in them, but art is also kind of unpredictable and random. And so the origins of the project actually stem back to when a close friend of mine passed away while I was in college. I was doing study abroad and this close friend back home passed away really suddenly and unexpectedly. And I was trying to get myself back into the art studio and I could not do it for weeks. I was so upset and I was not able to process it through my art. And when I did start painting again, for whatever reason, all I could do was these very abstract acrylic paintings on Post-it notes. And I don't know why that was. I brought them back to college the next year and my professor was like, I don't know what's going on with these. I had this thought that I would leave them in books for people to discover as a surprise art gift in libraries or whatever. And my professor said, these don't make that much sense to me. They might make more sense if they had a date on the back or something. And I sort of set them aside. Every now and then I find those paintings in my own books where I've forgotten about them. But yeah, it's always a very strange surprise. But several years later, when I was in grad school, suddenly it clicked. And I just had this sense, I need to do a Post-it note drawing every night before I go to bed of something from the day, something in my mind, something I'm trying not to lose, something I want to hold on to. And I need to do this forever. And so I started doing it. And years later, here I am with my life, little tiny pieces of my life documented one night at a time in Post-it notes.
So I only have about a minute left with you. Your first open studio event is taking place this weekend. Quickly, what can people expect to see?
I've got a couple paintings finished, a couple more in progress. So you can see behind the scenes of what they look like in the layers underneath the finished ones. They change a lot while I'm working on them. I've got a few drawings finished and a couple more underway. And if you're really nice to me, I might show you some of my Post-its as well.
Okay, that's very good incentive right there. Be on good behavior. Claire, it's been lovely speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.